Yeah, thanks, Tim. We are very excited to share about our ministry, Solid Rock, with you. And let me tell you, it's especially honoring to be at this church because I did grow up kind of going to this church. My grandma is Esther Sorensen over there, and I've been coming here, especially I remember on Easter Sundays when the whole Sorensen clan will be here, you know, the rowdy bunch we are. And we'll come here on Easter and share in the delicious potluck that you guys have. And it's an honor to be here and being able to speak in front of all of you guys and talk about our unique ministry. It's also cool to be here on Mother's Day, specifically because I do have four generations of women right over there in that in the seats over there. We have Grandma Esther, my mom Julie, who hates public recognition. So hi, Mom. And of course, you got my wife Tira, and my wife is currently pregnant with our first daughter, who is due June 3rd. So I might have to book it out of here if things kind of go earlier than scheduled. So. Yeah, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about, again, our ministry, which is Solid Rock School Discipleship. Just some things about us and what exactly we are. Like Tim said, we are a ministry of Lake Beauty Bible Camp. We are not necessarily your typical summer camp that many of you are probably familiar with or maybe have gone to. What we do is we offer a ministry that goes on during the other 9 months when it's not as beautiful and warm enough outside to swim in the lake. So what we do is we invite young adults ages 18 to 22 to come over for a 9-month Bible school. We start in August and we go until May. And our goal is to essentially help students build on a firm foundation, which we'll talk heavily today. So our mission at Solid Rock is to form Christ-centered disciples and to develop leaders. So our goal is that every student who leaves our program after 1 year of a commitment with us is that they will leave as a confident Christian, ready to handle whatever life throws at them afterwards. And kind of the four ways that we do that is we offer biblical academics. We have classes that are hosted at camp. So you take college-level classes at camp, which is a great place to study. We also go on some formational trips, the two of which we go on is a Boundary Waters trip in the beginning of the year. We also travel to Israel, and we explore the lands of the Bible firsthand in a 2-week excursion. We also emphasize discipleship and community, where we want our students to be discipled by others within this community. I'll talk more about that a little bit later. And lastly, we emphasize service and leadership. We want our students to put into practice the things that they're learning, again, at a unique setting of a Bible camp, because there's a lot of things to do and a lot of ways you can get involved. And we believe that if you put all these four things together, you'll have students who will leave the program, again, confident for whatever happens next. So that's kind of some things about us. And the main thing I would love to talk about more is just kind of our name, Solid Rock. Why are we called Solid Rock School Discipleship? And again, just like we saw with the disaster scene up here earlier, we really want to emphasize young adults building a firm foundation on Christ. And to talk more about this, I would love to introduce it with kind of a story about something that my wife has gone through a few years ago. So a few years back, my wife and I, we just got married. I just graduated college, and we just got jobs as teachers out west. So we had everything lined up. We had, again, our teaching jobs. We had an apartment to live in once we got there, but we were missing one thing, and that was a good vehicle. My college beater car was not going to handle the mountains really well, so we had to go get something better. And when we were shopping, we were going all around the area, and we noticed this unavoidable question that came when it comes to car shopping. The two options are, am I going to spend more money on a more reliable car, or am I going to save money with a cheaper vehicle? So we were torn with this decision. We knew that there were two ways we can go, and we saw the pros and cons of both of them. With a cheaper car, we saw the immediate benefits. Of course, we would buy the car. We'd have more money in our bank account, which is a nice thing at that time, even now. And that was an immediate benefit to us. But we knew that with the cheaper car came the long-term problems in the future, mainly car troubles. You don't know what you're going to get after you buy a cheaper car. So reversely, we were looking at the more expensive car. The more expensive car had more immediate challenging effects. We'd have less money to spend on other things. But on the flip side, we knew that this was an investment, potentially, where this more expensive car would last longer for us. So when I was thinking about this, as we were shopping around Fargo, the town we were living in at the time, this kind of image popped in my head of watching these car commercials and kind of hearing the cliche that the car announcer would say during the commercials, is your car built to last? So, but beyond just shopping for cars, our lives are full of choices where we must decide whether we're going to invest into something for the long term. We can take this idea into our Christian walks as well. So, kind of a stat to share with you guys. According to a recent study by Gallup, we noticed that in our society today, a growing number of young adults who were born into a Christian family are choosing to not continue their faith into adulthood. Rather, these adults are choosing to identify as non-religious. So once they leave the house, more adults are choosing to just step away from the faith altogether. And this brings up a reality, I think. As believers, we all reach a point in our lives as we're maturing that we need to choose whether or not we're going to continue our relationship with God for the long run. There are many different ways we can live our lives, so many different avenues you can go to. But have we ever stopped to think, which way is the best? Think about it. Are your current actions, thoughts, beliefs, relationships, are they preparing you to be built to last? So let's begin by looking at Scripture, just some examples of people who were built to last because they prioritized God with their actions, their thoughts, their beliefs, and their relationships. The first example is Daniel 6. We hear about Daniel, who remained faithful to God even when the law of the land punished someone who practiced the law with a trip to the lion's den. In Genesis 6, we see Noah and how he followed God, and he built an ark even when the entire world turned their back against God. 1 Kings 18 shows Elijah as he stood alone against the priests of Baal, as the Lord, and he trusted the Lord to demonstrate his power in a remarkable way. And lastly, the book of Esther. We have an incredible story of one woman and how she remained faithful to God, even as the queen of a foreign land which worshiped other gods. So these stories that we read in the Bible are great examples for us of people who were built to last because they chose to continue their relationship with God even when things got hard. But the key scripture that I see is already up there is Matthew 7, 24 through 27. This is what I want to really focus on. And before we read, we need to get some background information about this first. So this passage that we're about to read takes place early on in Jesus' ministry. During this time, he's delivering the Sermon on the Mount. And this is a very critical teaching in Jesus's ministry, and many scholars claim this to be the time where Jesus presents his core spiritual doctrine. And Jesus uses this last bit to wrap up his message. This is the conclusion of his sermon, and in this, he's challenging his audience to apply the information that they've just heard. So with all this in mind, let's read this once more. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house as it fell with a great crash. So why does Jesus use the image of building a house to think about applying information? Well, at the time, building a house on the rock was common sense. You must think about how houses were made at the time. We got an image of a house of first century house up there. Steel rebar was not a thing at all. Concrete was the new and cool invention that the Romans had just created. So it wasn't really available, especially in first century Palestine, which meant that most houses looked like this. This consists of stacked stone on top of each other that they would take a muddy mortar and kind of cover the sides. So on top of that, not having the greatest of all building materials. We had natural disasters that would wreak havoc on communities. Earthquakes, floods, storms, vicious children destroying houses. and laughing about it. Just kidding. So, in short, nobody would want to build their house on anything other than a rock, because if they chose to build it on sand or anything else, they knew that they would not have a house for very long. So what Jesus is trying to say is that this is a no-brainer. If you hear his words, applying it is the logical step that you should do after you hear it. It is the thing that makes common sense. But what does it mean exactly to build your house? Why does he focus so much on a house in this passage? Well, we should know, first off, that this is not a command on how you should literally build your house, okay? Clarifying that. But it means that those who are applying his teachings will be making a long-term commitment to Jesus. Notice how Jesus is not saying those who set up a tent on his rock. He's saying build a house on the rock. When I think about this, I think about my friends, kind of at the age right now where many of my friends are either building or buying new houses in neighborhoods. And when you hear about someone buying or building a house, they're sending out a message to their community that they're there to stay. They're no longer a tenant who's renting something. They are there to make the long-term commitments towards this neighborhood. So likewise, Jesus is saying to build your house on him is a long-term commitment. He's assuring that his listeners that his way of life will keep those who apply his teaching spiritually strong and secure, regardless of what life throws at them. Jesus is also assuring his listeners that he will be there for the long run, that those who choose to build his house on him will not be abandoned by him. The rock will not disappear. Jesus is assuring his promises are built to last. And in turn, those who trust him will be built to last because of where they place their house. So then, what can we do to build our house on Jesus' foundation? What exactly can we do to practice this? Well, it begins with a commitment. Do you want to commit to God, whose promises are unshakable and everlasting, or the unshakable and everlasting rock to build on? If you think about it, committing is like finding a piece of real estate on the rock. You are choosing the location where I want to build the house. This is the spot right here. But just like many aspects of life, if you just say, I'm going to do this, but don't do anything after that, you're missing the point. There are steps you need to go beyond the initial commitment. At Solid Rock, we focus heavily on this. After students commit to this, we want to train them and equip them as they start to build their house. That is the main heartbeat behind Solid Rock. And we do this by focusing on four areas. I kind of alluded to this earlier. But the four areas we focus on are biblical study, sacred moments, active discipleship, and leadership and service opportunities. But keep in mind that these four experiences are not just for young people. As I describe them, keep in mind that Christians of any age, in any context, can practice these four things to continue to build their house. But I'm just going to focus on the young adult part, because that's why I'm here. So let's kind of go through these each individually, step by step, starting with biblical academics. So to build a house, biblical study, sorry. To build on Jesus' foundation, one must regularly and deeply study God's word. In order to have a foundation on God's promises for humanity, we must first understand what those promises are exactly. And in order to understand what the promises are, we must study the words of God which are written in Scripture. While other resources like the biblical geography and sort of a commentary on the Bible are great guides for us, we must not be distracted from the main source of the promises, which is Scripture. Our primary focus should be Scripture. And at Solid Rock, we challenge our students to ask questions about this, to dive deeper into Scripture. And our goal is that our students, after studying Scripture, will take an ownership of their faith because they understand what is written in the book. Next, we have seen that when a person experiences what we call sacred moments in their life, their foundation on Jesus becomes all the more solidified. So a sacred moment, what does that mean? A sacred moment is when a person has an instance, usually one event, where they experience God in an undeniable way. You can have many sacred moments in your life. And these memories that you have are something in which you will remember and look back to when times get tough. Anyone can experience sacred moments at any time, but typically you hear about sacred moments, they happen during times which are out of the ordinary or at a special event. So for many people, you can talk about their times at Bible camp. Like they had an impactful moment at Bible camp, and that's where they maybe asked Jesus into their life for the first time, or maybe they recommitted their life. But that's not the only place. You can have it at a church retreat, a family gathering. Again, these are impactful moments where you undeniably encounter God in different ways. And at Solid Rock, we hope to foster a setting where our students will experience these sacred moments, and in the future, they can look back to these. And our trips, our two main trips, are specially designed to do so. Be it experiencing God's natural power in the boundary waters, or seeing the physical proof of the Bible's truth in Israel, we know that sacred moments for our students will plant them firmer on Jesus' foundation. And that's why we offer these for our students. And the other experience that we have seen create a firm foundation in Christ is active discipleship. Discipleship, in its most simplistic terms, means the promise of upbringing Christ followers who then, those followers, will then go out and upbring Christ followers of their own. It's sort of a process that goes from generation to generation. Discipleship can be done in many different contexts, but regardless of where it happens, it all relies on Christians coming together into a community. The reason we gather as a church is to promote this process of active discipleship. It's important that each person in God's church both receives encouragement from one person and then seeks out to pour encouragement into another person. At Solid Rock, we hope to model what it means to be actively discipled. We encourage our students to think about discipleship as a three-tiered system. There should be someone in which the student looks up to, a mentor who is going to walk alongside our student as they learn more about God and themselves. As a Lake Beauty staff, that's what we do. We come in and we mentor every one of our students. At the next level of the tier, there should be someone who's at the same level as the students. Someone who is experiencing similar challenges, similar adversities, or similar celebrations. And this is where the peers come into the equation, where we have our students live in a community with one another. And we really emphasize building a community of honesty and openness and trust as students learn to work together as a group towards a common goal. And lastly, there should be someone who looks up to the student, someone who's younger than the individual, ready to learn from a person who's at the next stage of life. And this is why we send our students out to Wednesday youth events or children's events. We want to give our students an opportunity to minister to people and practice pouring into someone who is younger than them. So again, it's this three-tiered system, a mentor, a peer, and a mentee. We believe this is very powerful for our students. And we know that even though it's only 1 year, it's not going to last forever. We want to demonstrate and model what it looks like to continue this for the rest of their lives. So the last foundational building experience that we have noticed to be critical is leadership and service opportunities. And let me tell you, it was really cool to see all of your volunteers up here because they are modeling that so well. Leading and serving in the community of God is a time where believers can put what they've been learning in their study, their experiences, and their guidance, they put all of those into practice, and they're using their hands, applying what they have, what they have learned. In this experience, we see believers begin to take ownership of the greater church, realizing that the vitality of the church depends on the willingness of its members to both step up and step out and serve in the community. And as we've seen, most churches have plenty of ways for their members to get involved in both leadership and serving roles. And at Solid Rock, we want to show our students that building a firm foundation means actively taking part in something which is much greater than themselves. The unique skills of each of our students and the realizations that they have learned in the program will be seen and appreciated as our students both lead and serve at Lake Beauty and in the surrounding community as well. So these are the four strategies which Solid Rock offers every student who enters the program. We have seen the positive outcomes of these experiences firsthand by witnessing complete transformations in young people. Our students come up much more confident in who they are. They can handle conflict so much better than where they came from. They can lead each other effectively forward into the kingdom of Christ. Our students, in short, are built to last. But keep in mind that these practices are not limited to Solid Rock. All people can build a foundation on Jesus and be transformed. But just continually be asking yourselves, as you're moving forward, am I digging into Scripture regularly? Am I seeking an impactful encounter with God? Am I surrounding myself with Christ in a Christ-like community? And am I using my skills to help benefit the church? Going back to my car story, in the end, my wife and I, we did decide to go with the more expensive car. Granted, expensive is kind of relative because we were two broke college students, so we got the best we could afford at the time. But this car has paid out. We have driven it from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and we drove it here this morning, and it truly is built to last. And our hope is that our hope at Solid Rock is that more young people will choose to become built to last. So much can happen in a single year when a person commits to building their house on Jesus. But to echo Jesus' words one last time, when the rain comes and streams rise and the winds blow, these young people will remain standing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your word and just how you have shared those promises with us. You're not a secret God who's going to hold the answers of life away from us, God, but you want to share that with us and you want to walk alongside of us, God. So we just pray that, one, that young people, this next generation will come up and just be excited to learn about you, God, be excited to grow deeper and just be formed on you, God. And we pray for the church, God, that there will be more people to come around alongside these young people and walk alongside them, especially as mentors will learn so much more about themselves, God, as well. So we just praise you for this time, God. We praise you for your church, and we praise you for all that you've done in our communities and in our world. And we pray that you'll continue to work around us, especially when the times get tough, God. I pray this all in your name. Amen.